Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Lucky Dog Podcast. This is your host, Elias Roush. Today, it's just me discussing Hannibal Season 3, Episode 8. Wow. Just wow. This was an amazing episode of television. Not only of just Hannibal, just of television of all time. This was movie quality cinematic to the top. I don't even know how to explain it. This was like a 40-minute. I need to check and see how long. It was a 43-minute mini movie. Just wow. I'm still speechless. It has all the elements that you could possibly want in a regular movie in the course of like, I don't know, in like 35 minutes. So intense. It just shows how something can be achieved on a smaller budget, but still highly effective. So, wow. So many cinematic flares that go into this specific episode, from down to just perspectives of individuals. I think the perspectives of where everybody is, you know, from Will being at the dinner table at the beginning, getting his head sliced open by Hannibal, to Jack, witnessing all these guys getting taken out by Chio, which I thought was badass. That was a really awesome scene. Just this episode, I really had no idea how it was gonna unfold. I really didn't think that they were gonna take Will's face off, but in that one scene, they really got me. They did the old switcheroo, and they had a quick close up on the one guy's the chef's face, we thought it was Will's when they were cutting into it. So it was brilliantly edited. Expertly shot, super cinematic as always. Music cues were, you know, always on par. And you know who really turned this episode into another level for me was the actor that plays Mason Virgin. Let me see if I can't pull his name up here in a second. Mason Virgin, Joe Anderson. This guy brought the heat. I thought he was probably one of the MVPs of the episode. I haven't really enjoyed his performance of Mason Verger that much, but this guy is so evil, and he plays it to a T. The little quirks he has, and sniffling, and all this little his intentions and his plans are just god awful. And the way he goes down with the eel crawling into him, it, amazing. As soon as he went in the water, I was like, oh, that eel's going to get his ass. He's going to get his ass. And he got him. He got what was coming to him. There was one scene at the very beginning. Okay, so I just saw what it was. That was kind of irking me a little bit. You kind of see Will at the very beginning, at around the 5-minute mark. Sorry, I'm jumping around so much. There's so much that happens in this episode. You know, you think that something's gonna happen, and someone gets shot, and then this, that, and the other, and then someone's face is getting taken off the next minute. Next thing you know, Mason Verger's trying to impregnate a pig, and with a real baby, and is it going to be a pig baby or something like that? But I was like, what is going on? There's so many things going on. I was like, I was mind blown this entire time. Yeah, I had to rewind to check out what Alana Bloom was checking out in the, it looks like some sort of reflection or something like that. Right when they're waking up with, when she's waking up with Margaret, toward the beginning of the episode. I think it's Will's face. I can't exactly tell. But I wasn't 100% sure why they were. I guess she was just thinking about him or something. The entire episode just is expertly done. I'll go through a couple of my favorite parts about it, and things that I actually thought were a little bit overlooked, like the fact that Mason Verger didn't have enough security, like nearly enough security for how much money this guy has apparently got. But I loved how they even had a dinner scene at the very beginning. There's a just like in a Hannibal a regular season one, season two episode that there would be a dinner scene and everyone's all dizzied up and Hannibal looks right at home even though he's strapped to a chair. Something about this chef, I've already mentioned it. I know the guy. He's from True Detective. He's Cordell Do Doemling. Domling. Domling, yeah. And he's a doctor, evidently. I didn't realize that he was a doctor. Everyone's a freaking doctor in this. I should just assume that everyone, including the homeless people, are doctors until otherwise notified, because everyone's a Dr. Alana, a Dr. Bloom, a Dr. Lecter. There's just so many doctors. Dr. Cordell. And apparently Chef Cordell as well, because he does look like he makes some pretty tasty delights. Just the way that this guy delivers his lines with how he's talking about, different foods. And they talked about cooking a dude's genitals and stuff like that. At the dinner table, they were just discussing, genital talk. Like, no, I don't want to know all that. But it was a. Oh, excuse me. The subtlety that they have between them, and they're just so posh or something like that. Not they're not being conniving or sniveling. They're like very frank and very blunt about what they're gonna do and what they have done, and just just whoa. You gotta admire it a little bit. It's a little bit kind of like I think dark humor or something. I think. And once again, the writing in this episode, oh my goodness, it's like, it's like waves of poetry that just feed in and out. It's amazingly written. Just the next scene after the dinner scene was oh, I guess. I'm not 100% sure. I want to say that this episode is probably something from one of the previous movies that I have not seen, with Cordell and this whole Hannibal being taken and by Mr. Verger and Graham biting into Cordell's cheek. I didn't really 100% know why Will did that, except for just shock value. But I want to say that this probably happened in a movie, a Hannibal movie. And yeah, I was just like, whoa. I didn't understand why Will decided to do that, especially in the condition he's in. I don't know. Will sometimes just needs to get a bite out of somebody. Just so yeah. And Hannibal's reaction, he is just he's loving it. He's loving it. God, the surgery scenes look so good. I don't understand how there's surgery scenes and like Cordell stitching up his wounds in the mirror looks so good, but then when they're done with the wounds, the show just gets a completely different makeup artist or something like that, and the makeup on like the bullet wounds and the scarring and stuff like that, I don't think it looks that great. I think that was one of their weak points. I think I actually mentioned that. I think that it, like the scars and the scratches and stuff on their face just don't look great, but cutting into them looks intense as hell. It looks like real surgery, so it's very odd. I want to say that Walking Dead probably took all the budget on the on the practical effects. But yeah, so Cordell stamps or what's it called? He brands, sorry, he brands Hannibal I guess like a pig, has him strung up naked, and he's talking to him, just all conniving, telling him how he's getting the meats are aged for aged and let me see. Once you're dead, I'll prepare you your loins aged. And then he says meats are aged only for tenderness, but mainly for flavor. And he says flavors change. Just this little interaction right there is just like, holy shit, just two evil guys are metaphorically playing or fencing each other, you know, just and neither one of them seems scared, even though one of them is about to eat the other, consume the other one. One thing, Hannibal never feels pain. I think he enjoys pain, to be honest, because he's stabbed, he's branded, he's even during that jackass whooping, jackass whooping. Jack Crawford's ass whooping he gave to him, it was just a lot of grunting. I when I watched the fight several times because I thought it was fucking badass, and beautifully choreographed. But Hannibal barely, I mean, he's just grunting most of the time. So, let's hop it back into the next scene, after Hannibal's done talking to Cornell. But Mason's discussing eggs and fertility with his sister, and I was just like, we have probably got a woman that has been kidnapped and it's somewhere on the property. And that was what I was expecting the entire time. When they find out that it's a pig, my instant reaction was I thought that pig was set there for Hannibal. Hannibal had set that pig there, and there was a body inside it. I had no idea what the women were about to find. So we'll hop into that in a little bit. But when you're going back to the first interaction, when she's asking where the surrogate is, and Mr. Vray's like, she's resting for the moment. You know, she's on the farm. She's a literal pig, man. she's a freaking pig. You better prepare yourself psychologically. You know? This guy's delivery is great. I could honestly see him in a lot more. I'm gonna check to see if he's gonna be in any more television. I kind of doubt he's gonna be in any more Hannibal. But this guy played evil to. With a capital E. Loved it. I loved it. Not what he did, just his performance. So the next scene really, I mean, each scene really kicks up the notch a little bit each time. And so I love the how is it still Hannibal Red at Mason Verger's farm? So we're in the pig pen with Hannibal sitting there like a pig, strung up by his arms and held by his neck, and guarded by one guard. We'll suspect about that. We'll suspect about that. But yeah, it did feel like the sister, Mrs. Verger, Margaret Verger, and Hannibal were having a quick therapy session. I mean, she even says, "Are we in therapy now?" And I was like, "It really seems like Hannibal just tries to get his claws deep in these people just to manipulate." I mean, obviously he's not in a good situation, and you know, anyone in that situation be trying to say similar things, you know, help me, get me out. Hannibal basically infects her mind and says, you know, you have to kill him. You have to kill to get, you know, the satisfaction you need. And it pretty much plants that idea, and I knew that that was going to happen. That was not going to faze me or anything like that. But eventually Alana comes in and takes out the dude, takes a pocket knife out, basically is seduced by Hannibal once again, even though she knows how bad he is. And watching him elaborately just get out of Mason Verger's ropes was pretty satisfying. I'm not gonna lie, it was really cool. And then seeing him stand up, getting the chain thing around his neck loose, it was dope. It was like I was waiting for the neck crack, and he's like, he's back. that I was just waiting for that. Yeah, if Mason Verger knew this thing that was going on between his sister and Alana, why would he not have a lot more security on both of them? Because considering that Cordell seems to be his A1 guy. Yeah, that was definitely a fault on his part. I don't know. You see, the girls definitely wouldn't have been able to take out, like, well, heck, anybody wouldn't have been able to take out, like, multiple guards, but maybe one they could. As soon as Hannibal was released, I knew that Will was going to, he was going to be fine. But the way it was shot, holy shit. I honestly thought that we were having Will's face removed. And, it was obviously trickery, real quick. You know, Brian Fuller got me. But the way it was done, superbly, I just can't say enough good things about it. Let me see if there's anything else I'm missing. Oh, I guess this is the scene where the pig comes into play. And this guy is sadistic enough where he has, like, I guess a human being bred by a female pig, and the pig apparently died, so I guess it didn't last very long. There's things coming out of it, which looks like it's ribs or something like that. Maybe broke the ribs and put it in there, but that's terrible. I don't, whatever it is. And there's some little pigs hanging above the pig, the mother pig, and, like, you know, like little toy pigs. And I thought this was going to be like a pig baby or something like that. I was like, are we about to jump into the supernatural or something like that? Because this is some weird shit. This is some next level weird shit. So this is intertwined. Removing of the fetus is intertwined with, I guess, Cordell's face being chopped. Although the last thing we do see is Will going, kind of going under the, wait, did he say no anesthesia? Won't you? Eh. Let's see if he says no anesthesia. He'll be sure to let me know if this hurts. Let's see. I swear he says no anesthesia. That would be pretty bad. I guess no anesthesia would be. He would be awake. Gosh. That's nasty. That's nasty. Ooh, it's hard to watch. Sorry. I'm watching the cuts. The cuts. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, it looks so real. Ooh. And so we see the removal of the face, but we don't see whose face. So the removal of the face, the removal of the baby, and then the plastering on of a new, oh, so hard to watch. And once again, we're still getting that Hannibal Red, with the pig scene. Just, oh, good Lord, just. Who is thinking? And that's a big baby. Does anyone think that's a really big baby? I'm not an expert or anything, but I look like a several month year old kid. And so fades easy transition into Mason Verger with the mask on, and he is like, "What?" Just like Cordell, and he has Cordell's face on him, and I was like, "Ah." I was kind of surprised that Hannibal didn't do more to Mason Verger, but while he was under, but I guess he left that he left all of that to his sister. And Chio is being a badass this entire episode. I think she needed a gun the entire time to really have her there, but she took care of security for Hannibal, which was kind of badass and obviously beautifully shot with the blood spattering on the snow. The next scene slides us right into Alana explaining what Hannibal got away and all that, and then his sister comes in and basically comes in and takes out her brother. Her brother did not think about the heir that he had just given birth to, or he didn't give birth, but the pig gave birth as the sole beneficiary or something like that, because apparently he wrote out his sister. Yeah, it was like, oh, didn't think about that. He was like, fuck. And I thought that they were going to stimulate his prostate with a cattle prod like they had like they had originally talked about, but we should have known as many times as we saw that eel that that was going in somebody, that that shit was going to fuck somebody up. And obviously the way it was shot, I was like, oh, the Grinch is getting drowned. Oh my goodness, yeah, it was so nasty. But watching him drown and then the eel goes in, oh, it's hard to watch, hard to watch. But anyways, that was a really intense death. I wasn't really sure what the metaphor for the teacup and the time metaphor thing was supposed to be, except for maybe just like time, it can't be reversed or something like that. Like once the teacup's broken, you can't go back in time. Yeah, I guess that was the metaphor. Thought it was pretty good. Actually, I didn't think it was pretty good. I thought it was great. I thought this entire last speech really summed up. Hell, this could have been a season finale, series finale. Like, I'm debating about just finishing up this episode and just not watching the rest because I am 100% satisfied with how this ended. Because I am a little bit worried about them trying to extend this. I guess this is leading into the Silence of the Lambs about, when Hannibal is caught. But I had heard that originally they were trying to make this a several 5 to 7 seasons, and we're only getting three. So, I'm really curious to see if they wrote themselves in a good spot where they can just leave Hannibal in jail or something like that, and it would kind of be like the Silence of the Lambs beginning. So, yeah, I that was an amazing episode. Please rate, share, subscribe. Check out the rest of our podcast. We have Humans. We have the new Avengers. I guess by the time this is out, this will be a little bit old news. But yeah, the all these new movies coming out. By the time this comes out, this will be probably around the time Deadpool comes out. We got a lot of summer movies coming up. Thank you for listening, and take it easy.